Amen. Getting fired up, might be some preaching going on. I don't know. Well, you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you about community. And the idea of community started with God. All of creation works in community. It works in partnership. We call them little ecosystems in the natural. There's connection in community. There's identity and purpose in community, and especially when it comes to the body of believers. We are a community. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. And how many of you have weird brothers and sisters? How many of you are one of the weird brothers and sisters? Hello. But we want to talk about vision this morning. I feel like I have this lots of energy to move around this morning. Thank you, Jesus. It's better than sitting in an easy chair, I'll tell you. And okay, we're back to the vision, right? So I have a question for you. How many of you know the legal name to our church here? There, put your hand way high if you know it. I got 1, 2, 3. 3 people. Okay, well, let me show you what that name is, maybe. Can we give it a try, Guy and Rebecca? I'm not. Oh, wait. Oh, well, it's on, but the little battery thing opened up. Let me see. One more time. There, okay. You guys see that? Interdenominational Christian Community Center Church of Camrose. What amount? Why? That's exactly it. Why? Now, I'm not going to say that I necessarily have 100% clarity on how this went, but I believe what it was, when they went to apply for their charitable number and government status, however that goes, the name had to represent, let me see, how did I have this written here? Who you were, what you were about, and where you were located, I think, to get this charitable name established. If I got that kind of right? Oh, and the name of your denomination, that's right. Because they're used to denominations, okay? So, we're Interdenominational Christian Community Center Church of Camrose. Oh, so there's our identity. No. That's a name, isn't it? But let's just take a look at that name, because you know what? Our forefathers, the founding fathers, I should say, our founding fathers, some of them are still sitting here. Good morning. Had vision. And in the vision, they said, well, we're interdenominational. I want to ask you, how many of you here have a denominational background from somewhere else? Maybe you're Lutheran, Catholic, Christian. Oh, right. How many? You may be non-denominational in the sense that you've never attended a church before. And we also say to ourselves we're non-denominational in a sense of this, that we're part of the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies, which is not a denomination. It's a fellowship of believers, like-minded thinkers. We have the same purpose and vision, scripture. So what is that called? Sorry, I've lost. Thank you. Statement of faith. It was like a statement of something, but I keep going back to vision statement. We have the same statement of faith that we agree upon, but we operate very differently. We don't have a governing body over us telling us how we have to run, but we do have a fellowship for accountability, for encouragement, for support, and that. So that's where that difference. So we're interdenominational and we're non-denominational. That's part of that thing. Now let's move on. Yes. So in there is identity. So community, well, we've already kind of covered community, right? Christian community, so we know that we're a Christian community. Center. But I'm going to add the ED, centered. That's where it's supposed to stop. Center. That was a place, that was a location. This is the center. But I like I said, I'm going to add the ED to it, centered. We're a Christian community centered on who? On Jesus Christ. Christian, that's the Christian. And we are disciples of Jesus, And we center our community, our focus is on Jesus, right? We praise God for who he is, what he's done. So again, there's just our name. It speaks to our location. How is our location? It's here in Camrose. It's here in this neighborhood. It speaks to the greater community of Camrose as our mission field, and even beyond that. But that's not where we're going this morning. That's just the start. Thinking about there was a vision and a purpose that our founding fathers had when they established Camrose Community Church. So this morning we're going to look at a vision statement. Now, I want you to know that this is going to, we're not going to cover it all this morning. It's going to be in two parts. But it's important for us to look at our vision statement for Camrose Community Church. Again, because there was our founding fathers had a vision for this church given to them by God. What are we doing? Where are we going? And this, or in the spring of 2019, the leadership worked on a vision statement. We have a mission statement, which is two or three paragraphs, but we just wanted a vision statement, that one condensed, simplified statement that talks about what the vision is that God has given us. So that became finalized January board meeting. And so we're going to spend some time looking at it in depth. So why look at this and why the preamble about our legal name? Again, there is a vision that the Father God has given us and our founding fathers put together. And this vision helps us with understand our identity and the purpose set before us. And it speaks about our church community, our church family, in unity. And when we come together in unity and like-mindedness, there's a blessing there, and we'll get to that. So it's important for us all to look at it together and catch the vision. Now, again, for some of us, it's going to be a moment of refreshing our thinking and bringing us back to remembrance of that vision. And for others, it's going to be something altogether new. But for all of us, it's needed for us to move forward. So, we want to look at our vision statement and come into like-mindedness, if I can put it that way. We're going to go to the Psalms here. And this is from the Passion Translation. How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. I added the emphasis there. It is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing down from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from Mount Hermon. Oh, it says continued on next page. That's for my notes, not for you. Which flows down the hill of Zion. Indeed, that is where Yahweh has decreed his blessing will be found, the promise of life everlasting. Ah, catch the vision of that. Yahweh, God, Papa, has decreed blessing in unity, in that like-mindedness of community of believers. And as brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity, there is blessing. Amen? Amen. Okay. So why do we need a vision? Scripture says it this way. This is NIV. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. From the Message Bible, if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I'm going to be honest. This last couple of years, we've been trying to, how do we do things? And sometimes I feel like I'm stumbling all over myself. Like, what am I supposed to do? Can we do, because things change, right? And when you come back to your vision statement, when you come back to the vision God's given you, something changes in that. We're going to keep looking at that. Because what is the purpose of a vision? Oh, wait a minute. What is a vision statement? Let's start there. A vision statement is a clear, challenging, hope-filled, God-given picture from the heart of the future of our church ministry as we believe that it can and must be. Now, let's chew on that for a minute. It's a picture given from God. It's challenging. It's hope-filled. It's God-given. And it's God-given from the heart. And it gives us a picture of the future of our church ministry as we believe it can be and must be. We see God leading us in a direction, leading us. And we're going to look again a little deeper at that. So here we go. Let's move on here. So my hope this morning is that as we kind of get into this, that you're going to catch the vision. That as we spend time looking at this, that you'll be able to say, I can ask you, can you see it? And you'll be able to say, I think I see it. And I'll say, did you see that? Look at that. I never thought of it that way. And finally, aha, I've caught it. I've caught the vision. Because we want it to be something that's established in our hearts and our thoughts as we gather as a community. And this is just one community of believers, because we're a part of the community of all believers globally. So let's take a look at our vision statement. Vision statement for Camrose Community Church. It is the vision statement of this church to be a welcoming, worshiping community, experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that God desired them to be. Simple, but powerful. Linda, it's going to come up again, so I'm going to flip slides just so I can see her writing it down. You'll see it again in a minute. Okay, so what is the purpose of a vision? It simplifies and answers these two questions. First, what does God want us to want to accomplish through us? There's a purpose here for Camrose Community Church, why we're here, why we're in this location at this time, and what we're to do on his behalf. Through his name, we have purpose. And this doesn't change with the circumstances, the culture, the political climate, etc., those are always in constant change, right? What God has called us to do is never going to change in the sense of he never changes, right? The second part is, what will our ministry look like to accomplish this? And this part changes as needed. And means it will look different in order to accomplish it. What we did in 2019 is going to look different in 2022, 23, and it might look different from 2023 and 2024 because we need to know what God is how God is leading us. But what we're doing will never change in the sense of ministering the good news of God, the enabling power of God, the welcoming, the worshiping. That is never going to change. How we do it will change. Amen? Does that freak you out? And it's for this reason that we want to look at our vision statement, because things might change. We want to do a little dice stacking. We want to catch a hold of the vision and then move forward towards what God is doing and how the Holy Spirit is leading us in this vision to accomplish our purpose. So, let's do a little dissecting. The vision statement. And we're going to start with the word welcome. Welcoming. Dictionary.com puts it this way. Welcoming is a kindly greeting or reception as one who arrives gives pleasure. I underlined that part. When people walk through the door of this church, A, I'm going to ask, do you feel welcome and accepted? And do you feel like your presence here brings pleasure to other people? And I'm not judging you and saying, are you bringing it? I'm just saying, are we as a church body responding to you in that way? As one who arrives, gives pleasure. I just, yeah, have you ever seen, there's a thing, there was a little documentary while talking about, I think it was Hello, Goodbye or something like that, where people were, when they arrived at the airport and they saw their people coming down the escalator from, you know, the, that welcome, it's such a pleasure to the heart of the one who's welcoming them to see them. And I encourage us that that's who we are at Camelos Community Church. Can you, we sang the song, I Can Only Imagine. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you arrive in heaven? Like, we can say, well, we're going to worship Jesus, but you know what? I think Jesus is there with open arms. Just can't wait to receive you, is filled with great joy and pleasure at your presence arriving. And have you ever arrived somewhere and been received that way by somebody? Doesn't it make you feel good? I was given a little plaque a couple of years ago. It says, "Home is where somebody always runs to meet you." And it was about my dog. That little paw print. And when I come home, my little dog reacts to me like when I get home from church today, like I have been gone for years, and he is so happy to see me. And the same here in the office. When I bring that little guy in, put him on the floor, he does a quick run into Ralph's office, a turnaround, and all the way down the hallway, and right up the side of Rebecca into her lap. He is so happy. He loves Rebecca. Now, that's just a little dog. How about when a little child does that to you? Grandma, Grandpa, Auntie, Mommy, Daddy. There's such excitement because they're thrilled to receive you. And I'm going to say this, it may be a bit of a stretch, but Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom as little children. Little children get excited about things. And in the idea of welcoming here as a community, let's get excited about seeing our friends, our brothers and sisters come through the door. Receive them with pleasure. Give and just enjoy them in your hearts. Okay, there's another part to this. It's greetings. To greet the arrival of a person or guest with pleasure and kind courtesy. That talks to our words, blessing them. And to receive and accept with pleasure regards as pleasure or good. And of course, there's more to that. You know, as we look at this, I want to talk about being compelled by love. I love Ralph's message last week was so good. A new commandment I give you. That was from John 15, 12. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Man, sometimes that's a challenge, isn't it? I think we talked about that. But when we connect with the Lord, when we start pressing into his presence, he says, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He's always with us, but there's that connecting. When you start experiencing and accepting unconditionally that you are loved no matter what by God, and just letting that ruminate in your heart and your thoughts, that you are dwelling in the presence of God, that you abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in you, Holy Spirit is present in you, all of this, just letting it, just sitting and soaking in that. What starts happening is our hearts start being filled with the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, that unconditional love, that love that compels, that love. I heard somebody put it this way: to be so compelled that you no longer have choice. I mean, we always have choice, but you don't care anymore. You're so compelled, you know, you don't have a choice to judge somebody worthy or unworthy of love. You just love them. How many of you here would love to love that way? I'm not going to ask you how many of you love that way. I hope you do. But that's what our hearts want to be like. full of this love, where we love each other as we have been loved. I want to share a story. It's not my story. It's actually a story from Patricia King, but it so blessed my heart. Sorry, home group, I'm going to share it again. I shared it with them on Wednesday. She talks about there was a gentleman that was attending their church who had, he had some mental health issues, some handicaps that way, and he didn't take care of himself very well, and he didn't dress very well, and he didn't smell very well, but they loved him, and, they invited him, but little things like, how sometimes you get to go coffee after church in the evenings, and, we don't do that. She said that they would, say, well, you get together with a group of people that you kind of like, and he would always kind of hang around looking for that invitation, and, they just, And one day, the Lord really convicted Patricia about that, they weren't including him in that sense. And she just, we need to. So that evening after the service, the group of people that were gathering, let's invite this fellow, she said. And they all kind of did the same thing. He smelt. But she shared with them the conviction that was on her heart that they're not showing love to him. They're kind of segregating him. And so they agreed. And they agreed as a group that they were going to continue to show this one man love in a new way, and not that they recognized what was going on. And so they invited him that night to come along, and they began to find out things about him. And they began to get to know him, and every time that they invited him to come and join, they got to know him more. And eventually, what happened in their hearts? They grew to love him. You know what happened in his life? He felt loved, accepted, worthy. He started dressing nicer, cleaning himself up, taking pride in himself. He even eventually got himself a little job. He became a part of their ministry teams. I'm not sure when he was. I think it was ushering or something like that. But he became a part of the body because he was loved and accepted and welcomed. Now, the interesting thing is they said, a few years later, I'm not going to say how many years later, he got, in his job, he got a promotion. And when he got this promotion, it meant he had to move. And that he was no longer going to be in the same city and able to worship with them. And she says, it broke our hearts. Because they loved him. They were excited for him and blessed him, but they loved him. And they were going to lose this man. May that always be how we feel towards one another. Yes. That we want to send you out with blessing. But man, are we going to miss you? And I pray that you feel about every brother and sister here. And I think about all the ones who are online. I love you guys, and boy, I wish you were back here. And I just pray that God makes a way that you can again feel safe and comfortable among the believers meeting together. Remember, I said I'm a little crybaby this month. Oh, but it's good. Because when you come back, we're going to receive you with open arms and just love upon you. So let's move into some scriptures here that just speak of God's good. Oops, no, I'm ahead of myself. Sorry, I missed a link. This is our motto, a place for people just like you. I want to ask again about welcoming heaven. I came across a picture I was looking at something, and I'm going to be honest, at first I was disturbed. It's a picture of this man, and I'm going to say he was probably in his 40s or 50s or 60s, I'm going to say 40s or 50s, covered in gruesome tattoos, not butterflies. And he had surgery where horns had been attached. It was weird. And there was piercings and stuff. But here's the problem. When I looked at that, and of course I was working on this message, when I saw this picture, I just thought, would I welcome that person if they came through the door without judgment, with just compelled love to just accept them and receive them? And some that's what I'm talking about, that compelling love that will just kick judgment to the curb and just see the beauty of that person standing before us in Christ. I say the same thing about the young person who shows up, and I'm thinking female this time, who's skimpily dressed. You know, the shorts are too short and the top is too revealing and that. Can we accept them without judgment and just let the Lord work on the hearts of all to change what needs to be changed and to not care about what doesn't need to be changed? Maybe someone is going to walk through the door, fur coats dripping in jewels, the finest designer clothes on their back. And are we going to treat them any differently? Are we going to give them more respect? Are we just going to love unconditionally? Because once that's all stripped away, who they are is a beautiful creation of God. There's all kinds of different things. Maybe, though, again, we can go through the whole LGBTQ XYZ, because there's so many things out there that are just like, but can we receive them without judgment, not counting their sins against them? Allow them to come and let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts to bring them into relationship with Jesus. And just say, Lord, we're going to love them. They're going to feel loved. They're going to feel accepted. They're going to feel your presence, because we are Christ's representation here in the earth. Let's move into some scriptures now. This is the first one. My command is this. This is Ralph's from last week. Love each other as I have loved you. Oop. Sorry, let's see where we're going to go here. Oh, going to go back to that. I went the wrong direction. That's why I apologize. Got to go the right direction. If you do a U-turn, you're going to have a problem. Okay, and I'm going to read this from James 2. This is from the Message Bible. I put it up there. I loved the heading on it. The Royal Rule of Love. It says, my dear friend, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-oriented faith. If a man enters your church wearing expensive suits and street person wearing rags comes in right after him, and you say to that man in the suit, sit here, sir. This is the best seat in the house. And either ignore the street person or say, better sit here in the back row. Haven't you segregated God's children and proven that you are judges who can't be trusted? Okay, listen, dear friends. Isn't it clear that by now that God operates quite differently? He chooses the world's down and out as kingdom first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. And here you are abusing the same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploited you, who used the courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorned the new name Christian used in your baptism? You do well, then, to comply with the royal rule of the scripture. Love others as yourself. And I think that just speaks to, again, how we treat one another. No one is better than the other person, and no one is less than. The royal rule. The kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. And then we'll look, again, I put down the title from, this is from the NIV, I apologize, I didn't put that up there. Romans 12, 9 to 13, and then verse 18. And I loved it. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. And again, we that's what happened last week, right? We started practicing hospitality again, having people into our homes. And I hope you were blessed by it. And then, verse 18 says this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Amen. All right. Oops, I think I'm going backwards again, am I? Sorry. Nope, I think I maybe have the same slide in twice. I apologize for that. Anyhow, next verse, Philippians 2, 4, or 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Matthew 7:12 says this, so in everything you do to others, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And, you know, I have to honestly say, how many times have I caught myself, you know, you get frustrated with somebody and you start, rah, 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 and you're rah, 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 to somebody else. And is it benefiting them to listen to you? And is it benefiting the one you're rah, 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 about? And I challenge us. Remember, sometimes things are challenging that we catch each other and say, brother, sister, probably mostly sister, not always. You know, we need to not be speaking like that. What can we say about that person that would build them up? Encourage them. Encourage us to love them. Be compelled to love them. Then it goes on and says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. Romans 15, 1-2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. Proverbs 24, 17 says, do not gloat when your enemies fall. When they stumble, don't let your heart rejoice. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. How many of you ever said, well, there's karma for you. They deserve that. Love doesn't rejoice in the failings of others. First Peter 3, 8-9 says, finally, all of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this is where you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. It's sort of like, you know, when you were kids, I think about insult for insult. Well, you're just a pig face. Well, you're just dog barf. Well, you're just a poo-poo. Well, you know, that kind of thing, insult for insult. Come on. Now, we may do it in a much more grown-up way. And let's be careful that we don't guise it in sarcasm either. But let's be compelled by love to lift one another up. Not insulting. You know, there's a problem with insulting somebody. I'm just going to share a little story. I was junior high. I had my friends, did our things. I'm sitting in science class. New kid comes into the class. New kid into the neighborhood. So what happens? New, something different, change. So we start. And look at that. I'm interesting. You know, mocking. I probably did that every time that science class happened for about 2 weeks. And then lo and behold, doesn't the teacher do something? And that is, we have labs, and you have to have a lab partner. And guess who my lab partner was? The new kid. So I start doing labs with a new kid. It was dissecting a frog, believe it or not. And I start getting to know her. Her name was Robin. And Robin was fun. And Robin was funny. And I had a problem because my heart felt very guilty because I really liked her, but I'd said these things about her, and it felt really bad because the people who weren't friends with her, who were still mocking her, why are you being friends? Why am I being friends with her? You know what I mean? That happens in grown-up time too. And so that's why I always, you know, challenge myself, and I'm going to be honest, don't always get it right, to not be that person. Because in the end, when you get to know that person, find out about that person, you might really like them. And then what? You're going to be in a quandary. Let's go on. We got, whoops, come on. There we go. Our last scripture here, Timothy 5, 1 to 2. Gonna love this. Don't rebuke an old man harshly. Okay, old men in the room, don't admit it. But we don't. In fact, it goes on to say this. But exhort him as if he were your father. Treat the younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. With absolute purity. Our vision statement, again, like I said, we're going to look at it, the rest of it another time. But we are a welcoming church. Have you caught the vision for being a welcoming church? For being a welcomer to those who come in our doors, who come in around your life. Let's see if I can get it to go the right direction. There we go. So we're looking at vision. We are becoming the expression of Christ in the earth. And he'll get you there. He'll get you there. My prayer for you right now is this, for all of us here, that we become so compelled by God's love in our hearts that we don't see any other choice but to love others unconditionally. So, Father, I just lift those words before you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in our hearts as we just yield to that, Lord, that we be so compelled by love that we would love unconditionally everyone. Oh, Father, we know how it changed the world when Jesus was here. And now, Father, as we're his expression in the earth, Jesus, we just again invite you. Invite you to be everything again to us. Help us catch the vision of what you're doing here in Community Church, through Community Church, and into the greater community. Thank you, Lord. We all ask this in your precious name. Amen.